A few weeks ago, I did one of those famous LinkedIn polls, and I asked a very simple question. Are you going to be changing your sales tactics as you head into the fourth quarter? And an alarming amount of people said no. So in this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast, we're going to talk about those results. But more importantly, why I believe that you absolutely must change your tactics in the fourth quarter. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 50,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. This week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our brand spanking new webinar coming up on October 28th, and it's a little something something that I like to call How to Overcome Obstacles, Stalls, and Objections During the Fourth Quarter. Hello, welcome to the fourth quarter, by the way. If you'd like to learn more about the webinar, I'm going to be talking about it at the end of the podcast, but if you happen to be impatient, like I am, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/year-end-push. So just as kind of, a quick warning, and that's probably the wrong word to use. Like, I'm warning you, just a quick thing. I want to let you know I'm going to try to do this episode in kind of a rather brief manner, not the usual. I've been trying to keep the webinars lately in the 25 to 30 minute range. I'm going to see if I can get this under 15 minutes today, simply because it's Sunday and I'm tired as hell, man. I really had an active weekend. Just so you guys know, I usually don't like to have a lot of chitter chatter. I like to kind of get right down to business, but me and Mrs. Uncle Paul celebrated our 33rd wedding anniversary this weekend. We went out with my big brother and his wife, and their wedding anniversary is around the same time as ours. So I'm a little tired. A little alcohol might have been involved. I'm not saying one way or the other, but so that's the game plan. But I really, what I want to talk about today is this LinkedIn poll that I did. And off the top of my head, I'm not going to give you the exact number for the poll, but I can get you close enough in the ballpark. So the question was, will you be changing your sales tactics as you head into the fourth quarter? And it was at least 45% said no, that they would not be changing their tactics. Now, on a good note, this has trended downward, where less and less, more and more people are saying, yeah, I am going to change my tactics. I remember doing this poll about 2 or 3 years ago. And I had like 90, 95% of the people I was asking in multiple spaces where I participate. By the way, I have a Facebook group. I have a LinkedIn group with 63,000 people. I have 110,000 or 109,000 Twitter followers. So I've put this out in numerous places. I've put polls out to a lot of the companies where I do the training. And I simply ask the question, are you going to be changing the tactics? Now, a few years ago, it's like 90, 95% of the people that I asked the question to were, no, I'm not going to change it. Now, it's not my job to or the role I really want to embrace, being the cranky old sales trainer. But I really want to respond. Even if the 45% of the people said no, they would not, they're not going to change their tactics in the fourth and most critical quarter, I almost want to say, are you effing kidding me? That you absolutely should change your tactics in the fourth quarter. Now, I don't know that I need to say this, but maybe I gotta. When I'm saying, will you change your tactics? I'm not saying, will you change who you are and, become a prick or become manipulative or start lying to people just to get the deal. I want to be clear. That's not where we're going with the question. I mean, you have to understand by now that there are unique challenges and opportunities in the fourth quarter that you don't have Q1 through 3. And that's what I want to do today. I want to raise your awareness to it and get you thinking about it. So first and foremost, you have some obstacles that you don't have in other quarters. Like, for example, you have some holidays right during crunch time here, your most critical part of the quarter, where you're going to lose more time than you're ever going to realize. Because on paper, you might look at, let's take Thanksgiving that's going to be coming up here in the U.S., right? The way most of us look at it is that, well, I'm going to lose, you know, it's going to be like a four-day weekend. I'm going to lose two business days. No, you're not. Chances are you're going to lose at least the 3 days prior to that, right? The 3 days prior, like Monday through Wednesday of that week, whether it be by you tapping out and saying, yeah, it's a holiday week. I mean, nobody wants to talk business, you know, and you kind of mentally check out. We've all done it. But you need to think about that. And even in terms of, well, what am I going to do when I'm thinking, yeah, I don't want to work, man. I just want to hang out. And, you know, like everybody gets sentimental like I do, you know, around the holidays too. And, you know, you're just kind of chilling out and you're slowing down as well. You should, to an extent, but not to the extent that you milk 10 days out of, you know, what was going to be a 4 day weekend. Right. So you have that time before Thanksgiving. And then usually you have a day or two afterwards and we start justifying things to ourselves, both on the front end. Yeah, nobody's really going to want to talk business. They're checked out. But then, like, how dare you call somebody the Monday after Thanksgiving? I mean, I'm really being a wise ass here. This is how people think. I don't believe that for 1 minute. I mean, I don't see anything wrong in that. So then, you know, we lose this amount of time. But really, the worst thing is what starts to happen right after Thanksgiving here in the U.S. because you start heading into the quote-unquote holiday season. And what really, if you think about it, is just about, I don't know, the better part of a week when you weigh out Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, you know, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and yes, no disrespect to our Jewish friends, Hanukkah, and, you know, some of the other celebrations that people observe. But what happens on those days that I mentioned is that, you know, you really have about 4 days, and okay, so we're going to lose the better part of a week, and that's understandable, right? But you know what happens? Most people take what should be 4 days or a week, and they write off an entire month. Seriously, the mental checkout. This is why you hear a lot of people saying, you know what, call me back after the holidays and things like that. So you're losing time. You don't have as much time as you think. You think you have until year end. Yes, on paper you do. But good luck if your prospect isn't in or if they've mentally checked out. You've got to prepare for that. So that requires a change in tactics. I would assume you would agree, right? I sounded kind of shitty when I said, I would assume you would agree. I sounded really pissy. I didn't mean to do that. But the other thing too, and it reminds me of, did a little spoiler there when I said, you're going to have a lot of stalls that are unique to the fourth quarter in that, you know, call me back after the holidays, call me back next year, call me back in Q1. So what are you going to do to be able to, first of all, the best way to handle a stall or an objection is actually before it happens. What can you do to keep your deals moving forward? What can you do? And I would really write this down. What are the compelling reasons to meet now, buy now, versus after the holidays? You need those compelling reasons. I think one of the biggest mistakes a lot of us have made in sales is that we're looking at cute rebuttals too much and things to say. By the time we have to respond to something, you know, momentum isn't going our way. It's going, you know, in the direction of the prospect. So we really want to think about things we could do on the front end. But for now, I want you to think about, how are you going to respond and what will be your compelling reasons? Because I don't really want you to have one to meet now, buy now. And this is something I not only want you to work on, but I hope that sales managers that are listening to this will make this a sales meeting. Have everybody do that assignment. Come up with at least three responses to, you know, call me back after the holidays, or, you know, let's circle back after Christmas, and, you know, once we get into January or Q1 or whatever it is that you guys typically hear. And I want you to think about as many compelling reasons as you're going to offer. And then I want you to come up with at least three responses to that. Because if you come up with three, it won't be a matter of, well, can I respond to it? It'll be, you know, let me choose my weapon here, man. I'm locked and loaded here. I'm ready to roll. And the earlier in the quarter you do this, I mean, we're only, what, about 2 weeks into this thing, barely, as of the recording here, of the podcast. I mean, it's October 10th. So what are we, 10 days in? If you could get that aced early in the quarter, I think it's only going to help you. So I would do that. And then also practice. How are you gonna say it so it's very natural? Compare notes with your peers on your sales team. If you have friends that are in sales, talk to them. Say, how do you handle it? And just open your mind to it and learn some new tactics. The other thing too, you know, on a positive note, I believe that the fourth quarter is an opportunity for us to change our messaging, right? And, well, actually, you know what? Let's hold off on that, right? I am going to talk about that. Let's go a little deeper than that. I think it's an opportunity to provide value. Now, here I go. That is one of my, you know, one of my buttons in sales. Like, all the thought that you have to provide value. You notice that a lot of the LinkedIn discussions, salespeople love the sound bite of you have to provide value. And, you know, my feeling is like, what does that mean? Seriously, how does one provide value? It's a cute phrase. It's one that you're going to get all the head nods going. But at the end of the day, how in the hell do you do that, right? So there is an opportunity in the fourth quarter for you to provide some very unique value. So how so? Well, first of all, I want you to realize that you have people right now who are almost out of budget. So, you know, they need your expertise to help them to know ways that they can stretch their budget, right? How about those who have budget that they have to use between now and year end? And they might find themselves in a situation where they might make a snap decision, right? So you can help them make a more educated decision. How about those who are right now preparing their budget for next year? You can help them with that. I also think that some need your expertise so they could finish the year strong, especially these competitive types at the C-level, right? You know, they are performance-based, most of these people, right? So again, it could be finishing strong. Both the way I look at it is I look at top-line sales, bottom-line savings, being more productive, and a lot of that can come to you when you think about, hey, if I were this person, if I mentally fired myself, what would be the things, A, you know, that would be very painful for me that I want to avoid? But more importantly, as we come up on year end, like, what would be the opportunities? How could I look like a rock star? What things would I need in order for me to be perceived as a rock star in my organization? And then, you know, kind of, you know, rehire yourself mentally and, you know, kind of address those areas with people. Okay, so those are some things that you can do. I also think that I want to go back to the other thing that I kind of backburnered before. It's an opportunity to change the messaging. So, you know, some of those items that I mentioned about stretching budget and all that, you can, you know, pass along information to people like that. It changes up the flavor of your communication. Most sales messaging is a variation of, I want to sell you something. I want to meet with you so I can sell you something. I'm following up with you so I can sell you something. It's the same shit, you know, just repackaged. And our job is not to be like everyone else. Our job is to provide those little tiny differences along the way that when they add them all up, it amounts to a quantum leap of a difference. So, you know, in terms of changing the message, that could be something, right? You could also look at other things too. Like, you know, a lot of companies, there's going to be a slowdown in production. What are some things that maybe you can help, you know, them with to help them navigate that? How about, you know, there's a lot of companies, there's an increase in absenteeism once we start getting into the holiday season. Do you have any thoughts on that where you might be able to help them? But then there's some fun things too. Like, for example, here in the U.S., we have Halloween. That's an opportunity for you to change the messaging and have some fun and do a little bit of creativity. You know, long, long ago, before COVID, a friend of mine, my friend Katarina and I, many, many years ago when I wore a younger man's clothes and I had hair, we went around actually cold calling on, like, I mean, like, in-person, old school, like, wear out your shoes, cold calling. But we dressed up for Halloween. And we went around, and what we did was we made up, like, a bunch, you know, like those little Halloween bags that you used to get when you were a kid, you knock on a door. Again, remember, this is pre-COVID. I don't want anybody to have a panic attack. Listen to this. Oh, my God, you're spreading germs here. It's a long, long time ago before this was an issue. And what we did was, in each one of these little, like, little Halloween goodie bags, put a little bit of candy in there. We put some kind of a promotional product, like, from our company, like a pen or something like that, or a business card. And we might add something else in there. And our whole thing was, we just kind of showed up. And we'd show up, and they would be the quote-unquote gatekeeper. They'd see us dressed up. The guard would go down. In many cases, they were dressed up, too. We'd bless them with a goodie bag. And we'd ask, hey, look, you know, we're here to see, you know, Bob Smith. You know, we're hoping we could, you know, just kind of give him a smile and a laugh or whatever and drop off some candy or whatever. And so many of these people actually came out and shook our hand, and it led to business, right? And even in many instances, it was cool because, you know, we gave them some of our goodies, and then they had like a whole little spread they were giving out to people. So, you know, it was an opportunity to change the message. Also, too, how about Thanksgiving, right? That's an opportunity for you to change the message, not just in creativity, but remember, you can call some of these people and you can, you know, wish them a happy holiday. That will enable you to change up the messaging. How about Christmas and Hanukkah, right? You know, you can obviously send out a holiday card. Again, back in the day, I used to be a big advocate of dropping off like some cookies or something personal, or go to your dollar store and get, you know, a Santa mug for, you know, oh, I don't know, a dollar, and just get like some hard candy and fill it, throw your business card in there, whatever you want to do. Maybe throw some of that, I always call it like that Easter plastic wrap, right, that you put around Easter baskets, wrap it in that or whatever, and, you know, throw a bow on it and go in and stop in. It might get you a meet and greet, even during COVID. I'm not kidding you. You know, if it's a business that has their employees there, give it a shot. But even if you want to do something like that, you say, ah, man, that's kind of dated advice right there. Okay, no problem. Fair enough. Then you certainly can change up the messaging with a holiday card or calling them up and seeing what they're going to be doing. One of the things I started to do in later years is I realized that a lot of people are flooded with Christmas cards. So what I do instead is now I send out a New Year's card, and that can be, you know, very, very different, because I find that a lot of people, especially the people I'm trying to reach, are full of piss and vinegar when it comes to the beginning of the year, and there's less noise because everybody, you know, I mean, nobody is really sending a New Year's card. So that's something that you can do. But anyway, you know, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I wanted to keep this short and sweet. The main objective here is to get you to reconsider this idea that there is no need to change your tactics in the fourth quarter. I believe that there's several reasons. We said before that, you know, we have some obstacles with time management, right? We have Thanksgiving and we have, you know, Christmas, New Year's, and it's not just the actual days. You know, we could end up by losing the better part of December. We said that we start to hear, you know, the stall of call me back in the first quarter, call me back after the holidays. How are you going to be prepared to handle that? What are going to be the compelling reasons that you're going to offer people? I said to you that there's an opportunity to provide value, because what's happening now is that the challenges they have in the fourth quarter are going to be things like stretching the budget. They're going to be things like preparing the budget for next year. It could be things that they're challenged with, you know, that are around the holidays. It might be getting materials for them are very difficult at year end. They might have a higher rate of absenteeism, their own employees kind of mentally checking out, right? So things like that are areas where you can provide some value. We also said that another reason why you want to consider a change in tactics is because the fourth quarter offers us a chance to change the messaging, right? And I think that's so important because we're noticing with the pandemic that sales cycles are running longer than they were before, prior to the pandemic. So how can we keep this courtship with our potential clients interesting? Well, the answer to that question is we can't do it by saying the same shit over and over again or having the same boring quote unquote date with them over and over again. Hopefully these will give you some ideas that you can run with. But the biggest takeaway that I want you to have here is that you absolutely should think about these areas and see, you know, how you can bring them to the next level, how you could handle the, you know, the stalls that you're going to be hearing, how you could change up your messaging. So before you go, I just wanted to leave you with a quick reminder that on October 28th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time until about 1 p.m. Eastern Time, we're going to be doing a bit of a part two to the last webinar that I just did. Now, the last webinar I did, by the way, we had a hell of a turnout. We had a lot of people register for this and join us and just had a lot of great interaction. We talked about how to close more in the fourth quarter. In this particular webinar, we're going to be talking about how to overcome obstacles, stalls, and objections that are actually rather unique to the fourth quarter, and further, really further along the lines of why you need to change your tactics. I'm going to show you how to change those tactics in the fourth quarter. If you'd like to learn more, and I certainly hope you do, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/year-end-push. That's yoursalesplaybook.com, yearendpush, all one word, all lowercase levels. Hope to see you there, folks. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.